This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black. November is Behind the Black subscription and donation. Your generosity is much appreciated. Bob Zimmerman is here to take us through private space and now and again a nod to big space. There are lots of changes stemming from the success of New Glenn, but lots of moving parts here for everyone looking to the future, especially Blue Origin. They seem to be advancing even as we speak. Bob, a very good evening to you. Blue Origin has plans. I remember the other day I asked about the wonderful world of boosters, and I believe Super Heavy is number one, SpaceX, and then SLS was two, and then New Glenn is number three. Is that changing? Good evening to you, Bob.
No, that order doesn't even make sense to me, John. I'm sorry. Your memory is not exactly right. SpaceX, of course, is trying to develop Starship Super Heavy, which would be the biggest, most powerful rocket ever made and completely reusable. SLS, NASA has been trying to make for 20 years the SLS rocket, which is expendable, costs 100 times more, can't launch as often, and is basically a bad idea. And then Blue Origin has been trying and successfully finally to develop its New Glenn orbital rocket. It started its development at the same time as the Falcon 9. It only began to make its first launch early this year. It completed its second launch just last week. That second launch was significant because they successfully landed the first stage, which means they have the capability now of reusing first stages, just like Falcon 9. What makes New Glenn interesting is because it's a bigger rocket than the Falcon 9. It can launch more payload. The news this week is that shortly after that launch, the Blue Origin announced planned upgrades for New Glenn that are going to begin on the very next launch, early next year. Those initial upgrades will be more powerful engines, the BE-4 and BE-3U engines it uses on its first and second stages, respectively, are being upgraded to be more powerful. It means you can get more payload in orbit. But second, the company plans to upgrade New Glenn by adding engines to both the first and second stages. Now, this is actually not a surprise. When the rocket was first proposed almost 20 years ago, they proposed it with a design option to expand the size. So they're going ahead with that. Now, they don't have a schedule for when this is going to be accomplished, but once it is, this rocket is going to be very close, pretty much comparable to NASA's SLS rocket. Imagine that now. Blue Origin will have a private rocket that costs a tenth to launch as SLS, has a reusable first stage, and it'll have that and be able to launch it multiple times a year. Maybe not as much as Falcon 9, but definitely multiple times a year. SLS costs 100 times more, can only launch once every 2 to 3 years, and is completely expendable. So what's significant about this, John, is that two private American companies, SpaceX and Blue Origin, are now developing rockets that make SLS look ridiculous. And why the Congress and Ted Cruz in particular is pushing to save SLS right now makes no sense at all. No sense on a rational basis, on a financial basis, on a practical basis. It makes no sense at all because in the next 2 years, we're going to have two different rockets from private companies that can do a much better job.
Rocket Lab. I noted that the stock is going up and down, but the Rocket Lab is heading up. What have they done?
Well, this past week, they set a new annual launch record for the company. They broke the record they set last year. They've now done 15 successful orbital launches. In addition, the company has also done three different launches of its HASTE version of its Electron rocket. This is a version that doesn't go into orbit. It's suborbital, and it was designed specifically to give the military hypersonic testing capabilities. And this improvisation by Rocket Lab paid off very quickly. They have now done in the last 2 years, six HASTE launches. So these are not orbital launches, but they're comparable. And so this company is really moving forward. And by the way, it's now done 15 launches this year. That's more than Russia, the entire nation of Russia, the former Soviet Union. And in fact, it looks pretty likely that before the year is out, Rocket Lab will have launched more often than Russia. So it's a great achievement. They are still moving forward. And I consider Rocket Lab one of these major companies that can provide American space effort outside of NASA.
India is developing an upper stage for what, Bob? What's the ambition here?
This is an upgrade to the upper stage of their LVM rocket. That's their largest rocket. And so they've been developing an upgrade to the upper stage engine that would allow that engine to do multiple restarts, not just one or two. Before, they had to add a bottle, essentially, for every restart, a piece of equipment that would activate for each restart, which meant you have to keep adding these if you want to do multiple restarts. Well, they've now developed and successfully tested a different design, which would allow the engine to restart many, many times without those extra pieces of equipment. And the reason they're doing this is because the LVM rocket is the rocket they want to use to build their space station, to launch their manned missions, and to do interplanetary missions down the road. And to do those things, your upper stage, once it's in orbit, has to be able to fire multiple times to do multiple different things. It can't just fire once or twice and be done. And so they've now tested that and successful. So they're moving forward, and they're going to be, I think, have the capability in the next 5 years to start building that space station, as they hope. And they hope in 27 to do their first manned flight.
Politics. Jared Isaacman, here we go. A second hearing. Where are we going, Bob? The first appointment was withdrawn by Mr. Trump. The second appointment was advanced by Mr. Trump. The Senate has an opinion, but it had one the first time. So what's happening?
Yeah. So when he was first, when Isaacman was first nominated by Trump, the Senate did a hearing. It questioned him. It had private meetings with Isaacman. It got all that stuff done, and then it scheduled a vote. Days before the actual vote, and it was expected he'd be confirmed easily in that vote. Days before the vote, Trump withdrew the nomination. Well, now, months later, he's renominated Isaacman. And so at first thought, you think, well, they could just simply schedule a vote. They've done all the pro forma work. But no, you see, in the interim, a policy paper that Isaacman had written outlining what he wanted to do at NASA got leaked to the D.C. swamp. And because it got leaked and had a lot of things in it that a lot of congressmen didn't like, they now want to question Isaacman about this. And it's not going to change anything. He's going to be confirmed. There's no doubt about that. But there's a lot of congressmen who want a photo op. They can preen for the cameras. They can say how wonderful they support NASA and its employees. And so they're going to make him go through this. But it does mean he's probably not going to be confirmed until early next year, which means he's not going to be in a position to review the next SLS Orion Artemis mission that's supposed to take four astronauts around the moon and back to Earth. And it had been my hope that Isaacman, as a former astronaut, would look at that mission and look at the serious questions that exist about Orion and its heat shield and make the decision to take the people off the flight. And he's not going to really have time to do that, I think. This delay is going to put him in a position where that mission is going to fly. And I just keep crossing my fingers that Owen dies on that mission, John.
Bob, we move to space law, but not the UN space law, European space law. What do they want, Bob?
This has been a space law that has been percolating in the bureaucracy of the European Union now for 2 years. It's now been introduced at the European Commission, which passes these things for the EU. It's a law that is egregious beyond words. The State Department has come out against it aggressively because the law states that it can impose European Union regulations on companies from other nations. In other words, it does not respect the sovereignty of any other nation. If SpaceX puts up satellites, this law says the European Union can regulate how those satellites are built. And of course, the State Department has already come out strongly against this. I came out against this 2 years ago. There have been now more objections expressed by other European nations, both the United Kingdom and Liechtenstein, They are having problems with this law again as well. It has not been passed yet, but it does raise questions that a lot of nations in Europe don't like it as well. I've already reported how some European nations that have their own now independent rocket companies, they don't want a European law. They want their own national laws to regulate their space industries. And so I don't know if this law will actually pass, but if it does, what is, I think it's going to end up doing is pulling the teeth from the European Union, because everyone's going to ignore it. It's going to discredit the European Union. And that in the end will make the European Union less effective because it has no enforcement capabilities.
I mentioned that there's a parallel case about AI. The European Union passed a regulation about regulations about AI long before everybody had understood its capabilities and how it can be used. And now they're admitting that was a mistake. They overregulated, and that defeated competition. So they're losing out again. This sounds like the same thing. They are overregulated.
It is the same thing, John. It's actually comparable to their attempt to regulate free speech and Twitter. And Musk has basically told them to pound sand. They keep trying to impose their regulatory sovereignty on all other nations in the world, and they don't have the right to do that.
And their own internal apparatus is now saying, we made a mistake on AI. I'm holding out the possibility that they'll recognize they're making the same mistake on space law, Bob, just because there are a lot of startup spaceports over there that don't want this grief. We can assume.
I agree with you, John, but the European Union has shown itself to be amazingly obtuse about these very basic ideas.
I'm not going to argue about that. They're being discouraging. We're going to D.C. now, the regulatory monster on this side of the Atlantic. What are they up to, Bob?
Yeah, a bipartisan bill in the Senate introduced by three Democrats and two Republicans, with the lead in it being Republican John Cornyn of Texas. They introduced a bill. They want to encourage space research after ISS retires. So their solution, and this is to beat China in space. So their solution to beat China in space, guess what, is to create another bureaucracy here on Earth. They want this act that they propose wants to create, quote, a National Institute for Space Research, which would be a federally controlled but independently operated entity designed to coordinate and advance U.S. microgravity research. Well, you know, all we have a lot of these agencies already. Isn't one of them called NASA? And aren't those agencies generally doing a very poor job? Well, these senators want to make another one. They want to create another agency. This isn't going to help space research in the slightest. It's going to interfere with it. But this is what the swamp does, John, and it's really disgraceful. I don't know if the bill will ever get passed. It's been introduced. It just illustrates the stupidity of these particular senators in my mind.
Canada wants to give money to the European Space Agency. Why? What do they want for it?
I don't have any idea, to be very honest. Canada is a half member of the European Space Agency. It's not in Europe, but it has membership aspects as part of it. And so the Canadian government announced that it's going to increase its budget to ESA by almost more than $500 million over the next 3 to 5 years. It doesn't specify what the money is going to be spent for, doesn't specify any particular projects. They're basically giving the money to another government agency in Europe. This is basically indicating the Canadian government is following the Soviet model. Government builds everything rather than the capitalism model where you give the money to you hire private companies to build what you want and sell it. And so I don't know what's going to come of this, but it sure doesn't sound like it's in the right direction for Canada.
What is the status of the spaceports in Canada?
Well, there are two spaceports. They are competing to open. We'll see whether they go anywhere, John. But once again, the government is not really, I think, doing the right thing in helping private enterprises space, not just spaceports.
And attention for Boca Chica. What's a day without a protest at Boca Chica? What is the complaint from the Mexican side of the border?
There's a bunch of Mexican anti-Musk activists that are whining about super heavy landing in the ocean. They were very unhappy. In this new report, they say it's really bad how super heavy landed in the ocean, in the Gulf, and how it damaged the environment. But what's worse is SpaceX's effort to clean it up also damaged the environment. This is all terrible. We have sent our report to the Mexican government, and we want them to take action. Well, there's no indication the Mexican government is going to do anything here because they don't. This would be a bad way to antagonize the U.S. But these activists just don't want anything accomplished. They're Luddites. They want to stop SpaceX just because they don't like SpaceX. They don't like Elon Musk's, and they don't like that somebody else is doing something grand. It's a very petty approach to things.
Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. Your donations and subscriptions most welcome. We're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.